Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't stress them, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, the show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah.
You don't suck. Welcome everybody. Perfect Plex Talk Radio is back. We are live on this road to WrestleMania. And I'ma state it right here, right now, on the BDSIR Radio Networks, powered by Fox Sports Radio 1340. Goes to us, people. Welcome to the Barbershop, where Barbershop Talk meets radio. And tonight, we talk professional wrestling, people. And what a show we have for you. But as always, you know by now, the particulars, people. 347-637-3859. Number to call in. Make sure you follow the Perfect Plex _ on Twitter. Make sure you follow your Shuey on Twitter. Also, Mike Knox. I am loud. I speak loud. And yes, I spell my name with three X's because like this Edge and Christian shirt I got on right now, I am hardcore. But tonight, people, we talk about Raw and SmackDown. We go ahead and give you all a little belt raise on that show. We talk about the man's music that's playing right now, the Hall of Fame inductee, Mr. One Kurt Angle. Our top 10 moments from Kurt Angle. King Von already says that there's a blight on his record because none of the stuff in TNA counts? Oh, shut your mouth when I say that. This is coming from me, a hashtag WWE guy. But as you all should already know, hashtag wrestling is storyline, so we will break down the top 10 moments. We will also talk about titles. People a lot today are talking about titles and how come they are losing their prestige. What can we do to bring them back? And also, we bring the popular internet sensation, One Gotta Go, to the program, and we break down and ask you and ask each other, who are you to get rid of? Bray Wyatt, Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor, and one Seth Rollins. People, drink it in, man. Introduction. I like to bring in the crew. No introductions individually because it's the god dang crew. Perfect Plex powered by Fox Sports Radio is live right here, right now. Welcome to the program, the crew. Micah, Emmy, Richard on the Twitter, and Hugo from No Foul Play. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike? What's going on?
I am loving it right now, man. I'm hype because no wrestling fan like you, like Toph, like Spot, like Chad, like Mr. Lopez, like Cammy. None of you guys will steal my thunder, because we're all going to WrestleMania. But I know you guys like to tiptoe around the situation until that day, Huggo, because we've never gone to wrestling together. But ask Amy Richmond on the Twitter, Micah, how I act when I go to wrestling. It's time to be kids again, people. I'm 41 years old, and I'm a kid this time of year. But that don't mean I can't be honest. I will be honest, though, Huggo. SmackDown and Raw was this week as well, guys. Let's go ahead and kick that into the Willie Bobo right there and start off right there with the SmackDown Raw review. I'm going to ask you first and foremost, Mr. Teacher over here, Micah. Raw, SmackDown did happen this week. We got a great opening, in my opinion, on Raw, where we saw Brock Lesnar, we saw Seth Rollins, we saw Roman Reigns, we saw Braun Strowman, who to me right now, can I see him, like Tom said, going against Brock Lesnar or something along that line, I believe he said. I'm excited about that. I'm loving the waiting for the Mega Powers 2.0 to explode. That is KO and Jericho. Collide as the U.S. Universal Champions. And I got to say this, as much as it breaks my heart, and I don't know what it is, why fans are so god-dang fickle that they've turned, in my opinion, on one Kevin Owens. Maybe it's not the fans. Maybe you guys for once can give me, give you my ear. Listen to what you got to say about why. It's just something not clicking with him as champion. Something's not clicking with him as champion. And I feel that some fans have turned their backs on Kevin Owens, but maybe it's the company not using him right. But I still see him as the same character he's always been. But again, we always ask that question, who's his best dance partner? And right now, it seems to be his partner that's on his right-hand side. Also, SmackDown, I mean, what else can be said about that opening, in my opinion, was Shane O'Mac. By the way, I got to say this, Shane O'Mac, I'm a huge fan of yours, Pauls. I'm a big fan of yours, Shane O'Mac, but I got to say this much, brother. The tight jeans, come on. But I get it because you're a Caucasian fella, and it was y'all sneeze anyway. That's your style. So it's okay. So I'm going to get up off of that. But anyway, Shane O'Mac announces the Elimination Chamber is coming 2 weeks after the Royal Rumble live in Phoenix, Arizona. I can't wait for that. We haven't seen one in a while. But I love that opening because Cena, AJ Styles, and Miz, I love that interaction between the two, and I love what Miz City said. I was beating John Cena before beating John Cena became cool to do. I know KME's on the line, and he has a lot to say about, the Miz and how he feels, but I thought that was great. To me, the Miz, he hits when he hits, and he misses, but when he hits, and he was hitting on Thursday night or Tuesday night SmackDown, I'm sorry, two SmackDown Live, shall we say. And then the main event, but we got the return of one Mickie James as the Lost Luchadora in the cage match. But I'm going to be honest, I love Alexa Bliss. I'm not too sold on Becky Lynch. It's honestly, for me, it's not just the way she talks. It's the outfit she wears in the wrestling ring. I can't stand it. It looks like, it's fresh out of, Game of Thrones, like a Banshee. I don't get the outfit that she wears, but SmackDown to me was not better than Raw this week. I'll wait for my belt grade, but that was some of the main things that happened from Raw from my perspective. Micah, your take on Raw and SmackDown.
Well, there's a lot of great things for both shows, and you hit some of them out. And to your point earlier, Mike, Hugo, when Mike comes around you, in a wrestling arena, he will be full Triple X, and he will not be Xander Cage, all right? So just be ready. You're going to have a good time with him, sir. So on Monday Night Raw, right? Monday Night Raw, I liked the majority of the show. I personally liked how this started. I like Brock Lesnar destroying everybody. I like the tease of Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, big bull guys who can give us a good match as big bulls, because, matches between big bulls is nothing but stumping and grumping and pause, slight German suplex humping. But, I like that. And I like everything, because Brock Lesnar needs to look stronger than everybody else, because what he's going to do with Goldberg is going to be classic, and it's going to be another classic, and it's going to leave an impression again at the Royal Rumble. Of course, with his build going later down the line. The only thing I don't like about Raw, like usual, is that sometimes they just have those segments in there that don't mean anything. And I think that's one of the reasons why its show seems slower paced. than a SmackDown show. Not just because it's 3 hours. 3 hours can go by fast if the pace of the show is different, kind of like how baseball is. Baseball is a slow game, but if the pace of play kicks up, the game may still be 3 hours, but the pace of play leaves a perception that it's actually not that long. So I think as they continue to shift that, kind of like how they did with the cruiserweights, I believe that it'll get better from that perspective. So I don't really have a lot of bad things to say. I love what they're doing in the cruiserweight division, extending the meaning of different matches in the cruiserweight division, developing different sub feuds while there's other matches going on. Because I think that's something that wrestling has missed altogether, where you can have a feud between two guys and they don't have to wrestle each other every week. They don't have to be near each other every week.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even talk to each other every week. You can just have a guy like Neville and Rich Swann, right? They maybe attack each other from behind. They may mess with each other, but
Rich Swann needs a coma. Rich Swann needs a coma. I'm sorry, he needs a coma. He looks like he's somebody who would hang out with Bubs off of The Wire.
Well, no, but what I think about, but you got that, but also there's some people like, and it's just me. It's just me. This is what I heard. Where some people who don't take the Shinsuke Nakamura's obvious charisma because they say he looks like he's having convulsions or something like that. So it's to each their own. Everyone has their own way of being different, and I think that's what Rich Swann's gimmick is to have that hair that's like, what? And then you see his ring skills, like, okay, I can tolerate it. You got good personality. You got in-ring skills. The hair. One got to go. Your hair. So you know what I'm saying? So, but also, that, like, you know, great.
No, blind tag. I loved the King's Court because everybody knows, and you know what's going to come. As soon as I saw any glimmer of faith or hope that I would have for somebody that I've been a fan of for so long, and let me just throw in there also that he never changed his Twitter handle. Hill Ziggler is back, baby. Woo! Put it on the shelf! I don't give a damn what you say. Go ahead, my tag's over. Hot tag me.
But let me wrap up my Raw thoughts. Was the ending segment, okay? And this goes to your point that you asked earlier, Mike. I believe that is not the fans turning on Kevin Owens. It's the fans turning on this concept that Kevin Owens is the chicken, that he can't beat nobody one-on-one. And what I would say is, if you are junkie and you're scratching yourself because you see Kevin Owens' title run, it is not Kevin Owens' fault that his title run is what it is. He's booked as a chicken heel, and so he's acting like a chicken heel. And he does chicken heel stuff. You know, there was another guy who y'all started to turn against and thought y'all wasn't going to have no hope for that was doing chicken heel stuff. His name was Seth Rollins. And when he beat up John Cena and beat up Sting, literally, and put him in, literally beat up Sting, but when he beat up both John Cena and Sting in the same night, you were perfectly fine with it and you got over it. I think the same thing's going to happen here. You're going to be fine as long as he beat Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble. You know, you're going to be fine because you want to see that. And my belt grade got cut lower for Raw because Raw wanted to pull off some revisionist history crap and act like that people were actually sad in the audience, where the guy who they showed was actually excited that Roman Reigns lost last week. But anyway, SmackDown, I give SmackDown credit. In my opinion, it was a better show, not because it had necessarily all this other outlandish things, because Raw did their thing. I think it was a better show.
Whatever you like. Uh-huh.
Is whatever, right? I think what SmackDown has done for me is that it keeps my attention throughout the night. It's still a 2-hour show. It still has all the kind of segments that you'll
two
have.
2 hours is so much better than three, by the way. It does flow so much better. The second hour of Raw was pretty dry.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. If you give us something that means something in that second hour, then the pace of play, so to speak, will go by faster, and the perception of Raw being a drag and a slow thing will go away. But you have to pick up the pace. And in order for you to do that, I'd say follow a SmackDown or NXT model. Give us a little bit more action, a little bit more meaning in everything that you do. I feel that everything that SmackDown does, like even small segments, seems to mean something. And that's why I think that SmackDown is a better show right now, because everybody that's in a match of some kind, it means something for their future. It tells a story down the line.
Maybe you're great already, Micah. Oh, God. Don't have to explain to me why you think it's better. That's your opinion. I'm not arguing that ever again. I'm not arguing with none of you guys anymore about why I like versus what you like. I'm just moving on.
I appreciate it, and that works. So for me, I'm going to give Raw a 3 out of 5. Steve Blackman Hardcore Championship.
Hey, my wife would love that, Ted. My wife loves Steve Blackman. I want to throw that in there.
Steve,
I don't know why. I have no idea why. It was the kendo stick, I guess, in the karate.
Yeah, and plus he's a big black man like you. So there you go. You have that. And for me, SmackDown, fantastic storytelling, everything. I loved everything. I loved the reveal at the end of La Luchadora. I give it a 4. Excuse me. A 4 out of 5. Mike Knox holding the championship belt on SmackDown titles.
Ooh, I like that. That's the best title you can have. I had a lot of them. 619 Cam, Hugo, Raw, SmackDown. He gave his belt grade. I give mine as well right now. I would give Raw a 3.75 Jericho undisputed title runs when he had both the belts. At the time, it was good. It was fresh. But I think like that title reign where no one saw it coming, that's where it was. It's one of them shows that, okay, it's good, but where's it actually going? We know it's not going to last. That's how I feel about that show. SmackDown, I get about a 3. I thought the opening segment was good. I like what's going on with Brie and Natty, to be truthfully honest with you. I really like that. But I think the women's division as a whole from the top part of the show has fallen off. I'm tired of seeing Alexa and Becky Lynch put the last kill. I'm sorry. I just can't get with Becky. I know Becky got the good hair, but I'm just not a fan. But I give 3 belts. Matter of fact, I'll make them 3 Euro Canada belts for SmackDown. And that's my grade right now for the week. Both shows were C+.
Yeah, they weren't the greatest shows. And it's kind of funny how you said that you gave it a Chris Jericho undisputed title. I've been watching all afternoon, no lie, Mike, his title run so far. I'm now in the middle of January when he was carrying the titles. And really, really quick side note on that title. Did you notice that Chris Jericho defended that title almost every single week, especially when he first won it?
He did. It's
so
funny. We were both
times.
Watching some of the same stuff today. That's really strange. We didn't talk about that either.
We never did. And it's crazy. I was like, damn, Chris Jericho. You know, if you really want to know what a fighting champion was, Chris Jericho definitely fits that mold. But it's kind of fun. It's kind of ironic that you chose that title run for your belt grade. But anyway, I mean, there's nothing else with you guys that I really could say about Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. You guys basically covered it all. I agree with you guys 100%. One thing that the WWE, and again, this is just me. I know that they're trying to promote the 205 Live, and I know that it's 3 hours,
right.
So I guess that's the reason why they have it on Raw. But I'm still not in tune with the cruiserweights. I think maybe the cruiserweights eventually will, transcend over to the 205 Live.
Can I say something that might piss people off? I'm a big fan of Neville's. I will call him Aaron Neville because that's what he introduced me to him as, right? I'm a big Neville guy. I think some of the guys there are okay. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm sorry. Come here. Give me a hug. Seriously, I know. Give me a hug. I'm just being me. It's the barbershop. I got to be honest, people. The cruiserweights are dead. There's no coming back from what they came back from. WWE cannot use them. So when I say cruiserweights are dead, I mean WWE cruiserweights are dead. WWE does not know how or what to do with them. I don't know why the shows are not clicking or what it is. And I'm going to take I believe Micah said it on Monday's show about the UK tournament. Maybe it's just not for me. Whatever audience it is for, then let that be for them. But I don't need to see it on Raw. I don't need to see it on SmackDown. I don't mind seeing a match here or there. But again, we all talked about it before. It's out there in the internet. So they need to listen to us the way that EA Sports listens to their community. And that's get rid of the damn purple ropes. That makes it even worse. You cartoonize it. You make it more you just make it not something that people want to watch when it's that way. Go ahead. Finch, you're great. I'm sorry.
And I think eventually it is going to transcend into the 205 Live brand. Now, obviously, they have to give it exposure before they're able to make it their own separate entity to the main show. So I think that's the reason why the WWE is using that strategy. But it does drag me a lot when I'm watching Monday Night Raw. Unfortunately, there was no Monday Night Football. There was no college football. So really, the only thing I really was able to watch on Monday night was Monday Night Raw. That's just me because I don't watch anything else on Monday nights but sports or that. I love the opening segment on Monday Night Raw. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Hands out, grade A. Braun Strowman, by the way, guys, is growing on me. Yes, I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman is gaining on me. He's okay. Obviously, in the ring, he's not the most athletic guy out there.
Doesn't
but
have to be the monster.
No, that's what I'm saying. He does. That's
true,
what I'm saying. But,
man,
but at
he
the
is
end
athletic.
Of the day, he's
dangerously
he's,
athletic for his eye.
But listen, he's entertaining because he has been entertaining me, especially with the whole, you know, the way that he talks and all of that. It's great what they're doing with Braun Strowman, making him a monster. I still don't see him as a viable choice for a champion, and I hope they don't push that button to make him a champion. But always to be there and intimidate the talent and obviously steamroll through the talent, that's fine. I have no issues with that. Keep him relevant, but don't put the title on him. I think if you put the title on him, it's career suicide for Braun Strowman. The rest of the show was mad. Like I said, you said it yourself. Hour number two, it was a hit or miss. It really nothing transpired over it. This whole Big E, Titus O'Neil thing. I don't know what the hell's going on. What's going to transpire to at the end of the day? I really am not interested in that. I know that they got to do something for the New Day, but at the end of the day, is it really working out? Nah, not really. And then, I don't know, Mike. I don't know where you see the dissension of the fans with KO. I think Kevin Owens has been doing a good job as champion. I think the problem is that there are other quote-unquote bigger stars around him that it kind of dilutes maybe what his title run is. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, because King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter, social media to the stars, is also said the same thing. Okay, and he said, well, Jericho's outshining him. So I guess he alluded to the same thing. But my take on this is because I don't understand how when those other stars were still there, everybody salivated over him. We want KO. Get Kevin Owens to do this. He's pretty much the only one in the company right now, along with Seth Rollins, that's allowed to do his wrestling movesets. He still does moves that no one else does. I mean, the cruiserweights get away with it, like my man Cedric Alexander, you know, with the super backstab, whatever the hell they call that move. Don't kill me, wrestling fans. I don't know the name of the finishing move. I'm not Michael Cole. And by the way, Michael Cole wasn't always bad. I heard some good commentary from earlier today from about like 10 years, 11 years ago. But I wish I had it. It was so good what he said. I was like, wow. I was like really shocked that he said it. Like, back to, you know, dealing with the fact of Kevin Owens and fans, his merchandise was selling, his shirts were going everywhere. You don't see that. You don't see the hype around him from the fans, in my opinion, as you did once before, Hugo.
Okay.
Hugo.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Makes sense. But I still think that, you know, eventually it's going to blow over between Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Obviously, we're going to start seeing the dissension right after the Royal Rumble, but leading into WrestleMania, which kind of makes me scared of what's going to happen at the Royal Rumble between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. But we'll see what happens then. On the other side, on the blue side, I didn't get to watch the first 30 minutes because I just got back from work. I got back from work and I forgot to DVR it, to be honest with you. My bad. I just got a new DirecTV box because the other one took a dump on me. But I watched from the Bray Wyatt segment with Randy Orton taking on Dean Ambrose. I thought that was an entertaining match. I don't recall when was the last time we saw Randy Orton and Dean Ambrose. So it was kind of fresh because we haven't seen them really wrestle each other in a while. So it was actually kind of fresh. I thought it was definitely a good match between the both of them. Obviously, we're going to see Luke Harper versus Randy Orton now next week to try to differentiate the whole thing with the Wyatt family and get back to the same page. I think this is where we're going to start seeing once again the Randy Orton face turn. And then basically, yeah, and the whole Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch, I agree with you 100%. Like, I am sick and tired of that feud. Let go of it. Finally, they did away with Charlotte and Sasha at Raw. They got to do the same thing on SmackDown between Becky Lynch God, I just lost my train of thought. See, and
Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. Come on now, get it right. Respect the champion. Just because the champion dance partner right now sucks, don't blame her. Go ahead. Your belt grade.
So the belt grade that I'm going to give Monday Night Raw, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.5 Undertaker Hardcore Championship belts. And the reason why I'm giving it is because, once again, I was reminiscing over Raw over this past couple of hours on 2001 when The Undertaker used to come out and beat the hell out of everyone, and they had the little feud with the Hardy Boys. And then on SmackDown, I'll give it a 3.5. Let me see. I'll give it a 3.5 Christian European title run since I'm still in that era. So that's my belt grade for the two shows.
And Grand Body P from Smack Talk Center says that he gives it 3.5, 3 out of 5 Wing Eagle title runs for this week in wrestling as well. But I want to draw you guys' attention right now to you know, the popular one gotta go, right? One gotta go. We got the Universal Champion originator. We have the guy that took the WWE by storm, I mean NXT by storm, and the internet sensation. I will always refer to him as Prince Devitt, as I was a fan of his before he came here, and I like to claim onto that because there's not many guys that was that's in the company now that I loved as a competitor before they made it to the WWE, and he's one of them. Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, who I did not know. I did see a couple of his matches in Ring of Honor. I will be honest with that. So I knew of him. I didn't think that what he did could actually come to a WWE and fans would actually like it. It's not in WWE right now. It's in NXT, and fans are loving it when they see him. Some fans still don't know who he is that don't watch NXT. Believe it or not, I put it on maybe like 20 different groups, and I'll give you all their thoughts right now. Bray Wyatt as well is on this list, and one Seth Rollins. So with that, with the one gotta go segment, I'm gonna bring ahead and let it's KME's calling in from California, the Los Angeles Chargers fan, or is that the Los Angeles Rams fan, or is that the Oakland Raiders? What you're moving to?
Look, no. I don't like any of those.
gotta mess with you since you mess with me. And listen, I don't give a damn, KME, what people think, because you know comedy is subjective. Comedy is subjective.
Right.
Don't ever come at Entourage again, bro. That's like my baby. That's like my child to me. We've had these talks dozens of times.
I can talk about Entourage because I live out here and I know how nonsensical it gets.
I lived out there in my mind. Because in my mind, I'm still on Sunset at that vegan restaurant we were at, where we're outside of the, I've never left there. I've never left that spot. But one got to go, KME, and we got Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Seth Rollins. Now, it's actually right now, I'm wondering you guys who's actually winning, and it's kind of actually hard. I didn't put a poll up, but just from what I'm seeing, so I'm going off with a naked eye of what I see in these posts. But about maybe, roughly, honestly, about 300 responses. Okay, between about the 20 different groups, about 300 responses. And it's almost what I'm looking at. It appears as Bray Wyatt is the favorite to be off the list and second, but a really close second, you know, battling for first, maybe by tomorrow, we don't know, is Shinsuke Nakamura. They're saying Bray because WWE has failed with him, and they're saying Shinsuke Nakamura because they don't know who he is. So a lot of love still, and Finn got some. I've got none for Seth Rollins, believe it or not. No one said Seth had to go. I thought it was surprising. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me go ahead. Where is that poll at? Because I will vote for Seth Rollins.
Well, like I said, that's not a poll. It's just a picture I put up. But go ahead. So you take Seth Rollins, one has to go. Why Seth?
Because, man, that dude is a pansy. I got, like, he's a great wrestler. And I do think there's some draw to him, but just for my taste, I just don't like.
Is this because you think he hurt Sting? You know, Sting acquitted him
about
this.
That, man. That's,
okay.
That's because if The Rock hurt Sting, I'd still be a Rock fan. It's just
that's The Rock.
Seth Rollins is. I think that he hasn't tapped in to his full potential. I think because I remember when he was Tyler Black in ROH, I liked him a lot. And then, you know, ever since that heel turn, it's been something with him that I just haven't been able to get behind. Kevin Owens is kind of suffering a little bit of the same thing, but I think the problem with Owens is he's just way too plain in WWE, and you know you're wrestling in a place where everybody's got a distinctive identity, and you're coming out there wrestling in your pajamas, you know. I wouldn't call Rollins plain. I think he's a little bit more than plain. It's just, for my liking, he does absolutely nothing for me.
Now, when you say that, here's some things. I'm not going to disagree with anybody anymore. I'm saying that's my new thing for 2017. You know what I'm saying? I mean, last year, trying to let it go on wrestling anymore because I got to get to a place where I have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy it how you enjoy it. I got to enjoy it how I enjoy it. But what I'm going to do is some things that I agree with you in there, okay? And that was Seth for me has fallen off since the heel turn, since the chair shot, since that whole opening, you know, storyline of him, you know, what was it, Plan B, right? Ever since then, and the hair color's gone. He doesn't have the split hair no more. He wrestles the same, but it's that oomph factor. It's that je ne sais quoi that I don't feel that he's lost. I don't know what it is, but I feel not. And like you said, and like I said in the show, I also feel that with one Kevin Owens. Micah, jump in here for me now. One has to go. He says Seth Rollins. Who do you have to go? Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, or Shinsuke Nakamura?
The only, like, you know, I understand KME's logic. I have to go with Bray Wyatt using that same kind of logic, you know. Here was a guy who was supposed to be my era, you know, of The Undertaker. He was supposed to be the guy who, you know, who brings us to the darkness, feeds us to the wolves, you know, following the buzzers, all kinds of things, cult leadership, all good things was pointing to the sign that, okay, great, we have Undertaker's official replacement. All right, loses John Cena WrestleMania. Not a big deal. A lot of guys get losing John Cena in big matches. That happens. Okay? Next time WrestleMania comes around, you get Undertaker. Makes sense. Let's go ahead and pass the torch. You lose. Okay. Let's try this again. Let's go ahead and build up Undertaker and Kane, and you're stealing their powers, and, you know, you become the full-fledged, you know, king of darkness for the WWE, and you lose at SummerSlam. Survivor Series. And so now, outside of this Randy Orton thing, which is fine, I cannot believe in your character anymore. Yeah, you got your fireflies, but that's because WWE as a universe is a sheep. So once you started teaching them that thing, it was like Pavlov's dog. Bray Wyatt's coming, I'll put your lights up. Okay, cool. Like, but what are you doing to suspend my disbelief that I can take you seriously as my version of the dead man? Nothing? Well, goodbye. Seth Rollins is perfectly fine. Seth Rollins is exactly where he needs to be, shielding booze from Roman Reigns. That's exactly where they need him at, and that's exactly why they're keeping him around. Finn Balor is going to be on a freaking skyrocket to the moon when he gets back, and I'm going to love every minute of it because I love what he's been doing. I love what he did do. I love how he stuck up that match and became the first Universal Champion, and I like how whoever's going to have that championship when he gets done is going to be the heel against him because he's going to be the favorite. Regardless if he comes back and tries to be a bad guy or not, people are going to love him. excuse me. I said I had a brain fart. I don't know why I had a brain fart. I apologize. These things happen, though. But and lastly, Shinsuke Nakamura, really? People are knocking him because they don't know him, because they don't watch NXT? Have they forgot the Fight Forever match?
I reminded people of that, and again, the same way I felt about Wrestle Kingdom 11, and most importantly, like, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, I can't knock people for what they don't watch. So if they don't know him,
that's where they go.
You know, they're more than welcome. I didn't know him before that tail end of his run in Ring of Honor, and I only know him that because I'm a NXT original. So,
okay, well, no, and that's totally understandable. You know people by what you watch, and because you and I consume a decent amount of wrestling, we know who he is and we appreciate what he has brought to the table, especially in WWE. And so when he gets called up, him being in the main event picture immediately. For WWE fans, as a paying attention, especially the hardcore fans, they'll be fine with that. It won't be like he never paid his dues and he only been wrestling for 5 years. So they can't use that stuff against him. So out of all these four, Bray Wyatt has to be the one to go because I can't believe in his character anymore. That's the only reason why. There's nothing to believe him in his character.
I give you that. And again, you're entitled. My disagreement with that one, I can't find something that I fully agreed with, was I don't ever think he was trying to be like Undertaker. I know that all wrestling fans try to put this together with that. I've never once got a Taker vibe. Taker's character is a dead guy who, you know, came back and reaped souls, who was controlled by an urn with these mystical powers. Bray Wyatt was a guy who came from the backwoods swamps. What was that movie that it actually
comes
from?
Wayland Mercy. Mercy.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
well, no, not wrong term, but I know the character that KME just said, the Wayland Mercy character. That's what he is. He's like a backyard voodooist, You know what I mean?
Yeah, you remember, what's that movie with De Niro? Cape Fear. That's what.
Yes, that's
is.
What it is. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't think of the movie. And so I never got a Taker vibe. But I agree when people say Bray Wyatt, the majority of it out there kind of, you know, tags in with what you said, was that they don't know where his character has gone. It's more of a WWE thing than him. The thing with when you, everybody says that is that we still love him when he performs in the ring. We still, you know, clamor for the
right.
we, with every hope and anticipation that the next rivalry will be that next rivalry. Sometimes
sure.
we
sure.
can't blame things on the company because when they have given them stuff, to me, I can really pick out, and I'm not saying who I'm taking out yet, Ivan, is when to go, as I picked on both things. I can pick out where it was not just the WWE's fault in bad booking. He's had only a couple of few good rivalries, and honestly, the best one was with Daniel Bryan. And he hasn't really had a good one, in my opinion anyway, since then. Can his Randy Orton one be good? It looked like it was going to be good. Then it took this strange turn, which meant to me, which you look at the bigger picture now, is, oh, they had to make sure they gave us something for WrestleMania with them, so they didn't want to blow their load early. And we all know that a lot of you men out there blow your load early. Hugo, one got to go. Give me one. Who are you getting rid of?
I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm also going to say Bray Wyatt, basically for all
damn,
the reasons that you guys
are mean.
I have absolutely no confidence in the Bray Wyatt character. We've already been seeing this for the last four years now, and nothing has changed. It's all been the same exact thing with Bray Wyatt. So how am I supposed to be expecting something different? When the last 4 years, it's always been the same exact thing with Bray Wyatt. When he went solo, would have been the perfect opportunity to elevate him to the next level. Obviously, that failed because the WWE failed him, and you said it yourself. It's not his fault. I like the dude. I love the way he wrestles. I love the way he talks. But at the end of the day, he's not going to get a support to show what he truly is made of. So why am I going to invest in a character that's absolutely going nowhere, that just hit a wall? That's exactly what Bray Wyatt did. It just hit a wall.
You want a blind tag? Go ahead, blind tag.
Yeah.
I'm done, by the way, so no blind tag.
The one thing I will say about this is my thing with Seth Rollins. I think he is not what WWE needs him to be. You know what I'm saying? I think and then when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about a legitimate, like,
to me, I think the bigger problem there came is that fans, you know me, I'm going to always blame it on fans. The WWE tried mm-hmm. to make him a dirtbag. They tried to make him a scumbag of a heel. They really did, to be
right.
honest. But it was so different. It was so new. It was so dark from John Cena and things like that, that fans loved it. And it backfired. It's just like watching an episode of Total Divas last week, which, yeah, I'm not afraid. My name is Mike Knox, 3X's, at Twitter, Mike Knox, 3X's, because,
yeah.
yes, I watch Total Divas. I don't give a damn. And Natty had a hard
yeah.
time trying to – they're out there cheering me. They're not supposed to cheer me. They're supposed to boo me. And I'm watching it like they're cheering you, Natty, because they respect the fact you got a heel turn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know that you
yeah,
freaking
well,
know that, but you're putting it up to the cameras. But anyway, bad example. Go ahead. But that's why.
Well,
I think fans ruin them.
The thing why I don't put Bray Wyatt on that list, because I think Bray Wyatt is salvageable because they still haven't had a legitimate face run out of him.
I agree.
I think
I agree.
With Seth Rollins, you've done him as a face. You're doing him as a face now, and you've done him as a heel, and it hasn't meant anything for your overall baseline. That's my issue with Rollins is simply that. It's like there hasn't been any upward progression. And the people that hate on Roman Reigns, the fact
let's not
of the
go
matter
there.
Is...
Let's not go
you,
there.
The
you go get me to an hour conversation.
But when Reigns had that belt, the ratings were way higher than they were
women.
Now. You know what I'm
women.
Saying?
Women. Men can hate all they want to. If they got a good-looking fellow on the TV, women are going to watch him. If you can get your woman to watch television of you with any kind, I don't care what the kind of movie is, it's going to do better.
Right.
It's just what it is. My one got to go.
That's not his fault, though.
No, not at all. He's just better looking than you. Right. I'm okay with it. Hell, I got
at
a woman.
At the end of the day.
But
listen,
if I was trying to get the same snacks he was trying to get, I would just walk away and be like, you got it, dog. Unless you don't want it. But let me get this out. Let me move on, Hugo.
Really quick.
To me, I just said.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
me.
Yeah, you blind tag me. It's only fair. Yeah, from now on, if you don't say blind tag, you can't interrupt.
No, my bad. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. That's fine.
It's all gravy, and I don't even like gravy. No, seriously. I think it's really
you
hard
like
in
gravy?
My opinion. Nah, very, very a little bit. I don't. I'm not a gravy guy. I eat it, but I'm not a big fan of it. But Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, to me, are the ones I'm going to have to choose here that I don't know where to pick from, because I think Shinsuke Nakamura will be the biggest international star that WWE's ever had. Anytime you have someone where the crowd is going crazy over a theme song with no words speaks for itself. So when that hits the
big
stage.
That dude is Japanese wrestler Prince.
He is just phenomenal. So I'm not getting rid of him. Right. Then I believe in Finn Balor, although I hate the fact they call him the demon. It's kind of made me pull away, and that's just me and my spiritual beliefs.
I still love him
as a guy, but I can't get behind someone they call the demon, especially if you sell merchandise with that on it. I can't get it to my kids. I can't bring it in my household. I believe I'm a guy of symbolism. So, but I still like him as a character. I love him. I think he is the next big thing as far as merchandise is concerned, if they do it the right way, like an Undertaker. So then we have process elimination. Bray Wyatt is the benefit of a bad storylines all the time. However, I do believe in he's just one good storyline away from being what we all want him to be. Seth Rollins, as much as I love him, this is because the first one I picked was kind of easy, and you guys kind of picked him apart. I said, okay, let me go a little bit harder. So I picked four guys that I generally thought people liked, you know what I mean, with these four, and I know that I generally like, so there you go. As much as I love Seth, as much as I was a fan of Tyler Black's as well with you, I think what we got out of him is the top. You've already taken away the curb stomp, which took away his appeal. Okay, that was a very big part. What makes a wrestler sometimes, yes, wrestling is storyline, but wrestling is hashtag finish, it's finisher move. If you don't have a dope finish, your finishing move can take you places. Look at Cedric Alexander. That finishing move and the way that Brian Kendrick let it, you know, took the bump that way makes the move great. Mm-hmm. Like the stunner, the way people took it made the move even greater. You took the curb stump away. Now he does the pedigree that should have been gone 2 years ago. At least a year ago. So, process of elimination, not seeing any elevation for him. He's been a heel, he's been a face, and in the same character, I got to get rid of Seth Rollins. And I hate to say that. I'm a fan of his. But this thing isn't easy. It's chess, not checkers. 347-637-3859. We're going to take a break right now so I can get some water, let my voice get back to these golden voice pipes. But listen, Kurt Angle is the reason for the show today, y'all. Top 10 Kurt Angle moments. By you, the fans, I'll give you mine if you give me yours. But right now, he's going to the Hall of Fame, y'all. Pay your damn respects.
Gold medal, but I think my destiny was to come here in the WWE and entertain the fans.
He has held every title imaginable. He is the only Olympic gold medalist in WWE history. Kurt Angle.
I know how to take you down.
The ankle lock.
The ankle lock. Integrity, integrity, and intelligence. Yeah.
It's great to be back.
Kurt Angle is home!
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
And a standing ovation, ladies and gentlemen, for one of the all-time great in-ring performers in WWE history. And we'd like to thank Brian Campbell from ESPN.com for breaking the story earlier today. The 1996 Olympic gold medalist, a four-time WWE champion. I absolutely love calling Kurt Angle's matches, and he was one of the great entertainers in the history of WWE. And folks, Kurt Angle, as he said earlier today, is coming home. Congratulations to Kurt Angle.
I don't know about y'all motherfuckers, but I'm happy. Welcome back to Perfect Flex Talk Radio. Well, Barbershop Talk Meets Radio, and we get into it. Shout out to our new guy over at Fox Sports. What is your Twitter handle, my man? I know you're out there right now. His name is Jeff. He's helping us out over there at Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. He's been helping us out, Jeff Kobe, out there tweeting for us from the Fox Sports page. Good to hear from him. Now, top 10 Kurt Angle moments, people. I want to get to this, but can I hear it one more time? Why am I asking you? I mean, it's my show, and I got the button, but I like to be polite sometimes. I mean, sometimes anyway. Hey, come on. Come on. Huh, huh, huh. That's that remix. What you know about that? You know why? Because you ignorant foes used to say ignorant things to this man like, no, he doesn't. You can't even hear the song without saying, you suck, and guess what? I can go right back. No, he don't. No, he don't. No, he don't. No, he don't suck. Listen, guys, Kurt Angle is going into the Hall of Fame, and I know myself, Hugo, KME, we are going to WrestleMania. Wish Micah could be there, but he's gonna have a little baby bundle of joy in his hand that I can buy wrestling belts for, and I got things I get with the babies. Who are wrestling families? They love Uncle Mike. They really love Uncle Mike. Uncle Mike's that man. You see my house. Uncle Mike's the man. But Kurt Angle, his top 10 moments to me, guys, are because he's truly one of my favorite wrestlers in the history of the WWE. We all like, you know, what we like to call real wrestling. And things along those lines. And he came in and he did something that I don't think many people thought he could actually do. And that was come in, be on the microphone immediately out the gate and still be very, very successful at what he accomplished. He went from being a super baby face. I mean, an ultimate super baby face. I would say more than one Rocky Maivia and being the super baby face. And that line. When I say super baby face, I mean he's smiling, gold medal winner, the only pure athlete in the company's history. And what didn't Kurt Angle accomplish? He's won every title in and out of the WWE. So I do have my top 10 moments, and I'm going to start off here. And welcome to the program. We got Mr. Toff joined the program. Christopher Epps, the professor KME, is here as well. 240, thanks for listening. And all you guys out there in the Twitter world, thank you for listening as well. But I do have my top 10 Kurt Angle moments. And my first one, simply to me, is one that we talk about favorite dance partners, best dance partners. Who could someone dance with? And I just had to mute you guys there. There's a little loud in the background. We move up to Fox Sports Radio, baby. We can't just be like that sometimes. So it's cool. I understand you got your thing, and I appreciate the calling. But, you know, we got to keep it right for the ladies. But at least for y'all, I got a lady. Shh. But number 10, guys, for me, I'm a huge John Cena fan. So why wouldn't it somewhere in this list this would be there, Micah? The Angle Invitational, it launched the career of John Cena. Ruthless aggression, John Cena, John Cena. And I think like John Cena did, well, almost a decade later with the U.S. Open Invitational, it helped you see guys, which, you know, a little different because John actually took on great competition. Kurt Angle didn't always. But it launched not just John Cena's career, but one Matt Stryker's career. 2005, SmackDown, February 24th. I'm sorry, I was there in the building. All the belts, you remember. All you guys who think you're belt kings, you remember too. I made you go buy a belt. But the Kurt Angle Invitational, because it helped launch the careers of guys like John Cena. Micah, your thoughts at number 10, Kurt Angle, my top Kurt Angle moments.
Well, I mean, you know, it's okay. You know, I have my dislike for John Cena. But at that point in John Cena's career, where he was pretty much like coming off of this of his OVW being called the prototype, I was fine with him. I thought it was something different. I thought it was a guy that was fresh. I was enjoying this this young kid who was being disrespectful to the, at the time, heel, you suck, Kurt Angle. And I was enjoying it. I was enjoying every little bit of it, including when, and they still kept that rivalry when John Cena decided to go Vanilla Ice and Halloween and come out with Dr. Thugonomics, and they had their rap battles and stuff. So I'm perfectly fine based on my history with John Cena as a fan and not a fan. Of that being number 10, that makes perfect sense to me, and that was important to a lot of people's careers.
And I like that, and of course, Micah's picking on me because I say like guys like Mike Stryker too. He says the rise of John Cena is a lot more important than the rise of Matt Stryker. Duh, I know that. I was, you know, just I saw it today. I told you I was watching a lot of wrestling today. It's not often I sit at home and watch the WWE Network, I really don't. And we started doing we're going to the Kurt Angle. So I wanted to go on there without, you know, YouTubing or Googling and, you know, looking at other people's lists and then taking yours from somebody else's. I didn't want to do that this time, you know what I mean? Or because I think every list, again, is subjectable. It's not your list. It's not where you would play somebody. It's not how you would have it, you know, but you listen to it. You get ideas. You can agree with some of the things. That, I don't care if you like the placement, to be honest with you. But the moments I pick are real moments. Hugo, number 10, the rise of John Cena because of the Kurt Angle Invitational.
Definitely, Kurt Angle and both Chris Jericho are responsible for the rise of one John Cena. Obviously, Kurt Angle was the first man that he faced in the WWE when he first came. Definitely up there. I would say for a top 10 for John Cena, and I could see why you
should
put
it be.
Kurt Angle
here.
And I could understand why you put it on the Kurt Angle one, because it obviously you're making it seem that. Kurt Angle also helped elevate other careers, and that's obviously perfectly fine. Definitely John Cena, if it wasn't for Kurt Angle in that small food that he had, who knows where John Cena would have been. And I just want to say really quick, man, Kurt Angle, and I said this on my Facebook page a couple of days ago, outside of Bret Hart, Kurt Angle is my favorite wrestler of all time. And it is such an honor to be able to go see Kurt Angle take his rightful place in the Hall of Fame. I thought I was never going to see it. I never thought I was actually going to see Kurt Angle in the Hall of Fame. And,
you know what I find funny now? Because now you're going. Now you're going to the Hall of Fame.
I told you, Mike. I'll go to the Hall of Fame just to see Kurt Angle, because I don't want to really sit there for 4 hours and listen to old men people talk. I'm sorry, but Kurt Angle's a different story. So Kurt Angle definitely has my butt in the seat for the Hall of Fame.
347-637-3859. You want to have a voice, hit the number one button. Let us know you want to talk to the panel and add something to the program. If not, just sit back, relax, and chill. And get some kvassier, get some incense. And if you got a lady, do it and, you know, okay. You got to be a fan of ladies, man. Number 9 on my list, guys, is simply Milk-a-Mania. I'm sorry. The screw job by referee Nick Patrick started the whole thing, the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. And we all know about the beer truck with Stone Cold and how that made him, you know, famous. Well, not, he was already famous before that. Trust me. I didn't mean to say that, Stone Cold. Please forgive me. But he brought the Zamboni out and he did that. But I love the fact that of the milk truck. It was great. It was such a big moment for him. And to me, in wrestling, when you're a top wrestler like he is, you got to have big moments. That was a very, very, very big moment. KME, number 9 on the list, the Milk-a-Mania, as it's referred to as, the milk truck incident. How you feel about that?
Oh, I thought it was cool. And I thought I liked the, you know, it was just a play on what they had already did with Austin with the with the beer truck and the milk truck was apropos. It was real good stuff, man. They, you know, never a dull moment, but I would definitely be somewhere on my top 10.
And Toph, your opinion, we got number 10 was the Invitational with Johnson, and number 9 is the milk truck. 10 and 9, Kurt Angle greatest moments. They belong, right?
Those are good moments. Whenever someone posts a picture of a woman with a well-developed backside, the Kurt Angle with the milk thing is always my go-to reply for that. So, yeah, I love the milk truck thing. And the Invitational with Cena and Angle was pretty good too, man. I'll never forget that generic music Cena had. It was like, you know, like the little the call music you used to get like on those wrestling games back in the day. So yeah, those are two good moments.
Here you go, number nine, Milka Mani. Your thoughts?
To me, it would have been definitely one of the top five because I still go back to this thing and watch the whole thing. Yeah, definitely, Mike. Definitely should be at anyone's top ten. It was very entertaining, and wasn't there? Did they try to imitate on that? So trying to, if I can remember, did they try to imitate where we remember when they did the beer truck thing and McMahon was swimming on it? Did anyone swim on the milk? Or
yeah, that's exactly what they did. They did everything almost identical. To the beer truck, except for one, you know, he didn't have a Zamboni. Nothing beats the Zamboni. I'm sorry. He comes through, crashing through, knocking down lights. Stone Cold Steve Austin is one of the all-time greatest when it comes to, you know, big moments in wrestling. That's for damn sure. Number eight on the list, obviously, you could have put a number 10 if you wanted to, but it has to be on here in my opinion. And it's really, to be honest with you, the debut of Kurt Angle at the Survivor Series 1998 against Stan Stasiak. That's probably the greatest moment in Stan Stasiak's life that we actually put him on a list with Kurt Angle somewhere, and only by default. Number seven on the list, anything, and I mean anything, that had to do with Kurt Angle and Edge and Christian. You think you know me. You think you know me. And everything those guys did together to me showed why Kurt Angle could be elevated. This is why, I can't believe I'm about to say this because I don't live in moments all the time. So you had to fix that, right? Because I'm living in one right now, right? We talked about living in the moment on Monday's show, Soul in Sports. You can catch us every Monday and Friday from 5 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM. iTunes, Stitcher, where you can find this show as well. We talked about living in the moment, how everybody is living in the moment with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I'm living in the moment with this when I say this. But as I say it, I always say I put Shawn Michaels above Bret Hart because Shawn Michaels had his moments, his storylines to me were better. He was better on the microphone, things like that along those lines. So I'm looking at this, Kurt Angle, to me, he really might have to be above Bret Hart because he was just as good in the ring, but he was better all around everywhere else. He wasn't the best there is, the best there was ever. But something about Bret Hart was to be. If there was no Bret Hart, there would have probably never been a Kurt Angle as far as WWE allowing someone like that to have a job. Okay, but Kurt Angle's debut was huge. But when he came out with Edge and Christian, and they were the hillbillies with the teeth in their mouth, and everything he did was just comedic gold, Micah. Kurt Angle and Edge and Christian. The reason why I got the shirt on for any of those with Fast Photography.
No, bro. I mean, I'm right with you. I was hoping that Edge and Christian and his interaction with them was on the list because Kurt Angle was booked for such a long time as an Olympic gold medalist that was a straight up guy. You know, imagine a more leaner looking HH. You know, he was still he's in his vitamins. He was a real American hero, like legit American hero, because he won the Olympic gold medal for America. And you know, everything that he did, he was such a dork, and it was great because it was like it was like, hey, I'm a hunky dory guy from Pittsburgh, and, you know, and I'm just an all American guy, you know. Give me some warm apple pie, Jason Big style, why don't ya? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what it was. And so I remember the segment. And I think you may have touched on it already, but I still remember that segment to where him and Edge they were working out their differences, and you know, and he was handing him pictures, different pictures.
I wanted to play that sound bite, but you can't really get the effect of it without seeing the video, so that's why I didn't get the audio for it.
Okay. Well,
I thought about it. I actually got it to put up, but I thought, yeah, if you can't see it, you're not gonna really know the joke.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, especially when he finished off that I have no testicles in the last picture poster. It was hilarious. So yeah, I think a lot of people underrate the ability of Kurt Angle to deliver a segment to you with such comedic fanfare. The small hats, the guitar sessions with Stone Cold and Vince McMahon, you know, all that stuff.
Jimmy Crackhorn.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy Crackhorn.
And I really don't care. Dolph, Edge and Christian, Kurt Angle, Now, you're a little younger than me, or a lot younger than me, actually. But, you know, at that point, that's like your height of wrestling, if I'm correct. How did you feel about the merger, those guys coming together the way they did, Edge and Christian and Kurt Angle?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was, like, right when I was, like, in, like middle school, high school. That was my prime as far as, like, you know, when wrestling was really hot and exciting. Everything they did was great. To me, the one thing that Kurt Angle has that has been attempted to replicate it by a lot of people, Kurt Angle was able to be goofy, like really, really goofy, but at the same time still be like a legit threat to any title at any time. Like he could be serious, like a kind of like a switch sort of. And I feel like a lot of wrestlers have tried to replicate that and they don't really pull it off.
If that strap comes down, it's over. Comes down.
I love it when he puts down the strap and then he puts it back on and then he puts it down again.
Oh man, and he tweeted that out. Oh, be careful what you say in the barbershop, y'all, because it might get tweeted. I said that if it wasn't for Bret Hart, they wouldn't be someone like Kurt Angle. Is that bad? KME, am I wrong for saying something like that?
Oh no, it's legit.
Yeah, I want the wrestler guy coming to me with the pitchforks now. I left that game back a long time ago. Don't come in with no pitchforks.
Yeah, But I one thing I will say about Bret Hart is I think he was great on the microphone, but that's just me. But we'll talk about that's a conversation for another day.
No,
but,
you know when I say not good, I don't mean because he was. Because if he wasn't good, I'm going you wouldn't be at the success he was. Let's put it there.
Right.
I just think Shawn, there's other guys that's been more flamboyant than him, and I'm a guy of flamboyance. You know what I mean? Like I'm a big Diddy fan.
More of a wordsmith. Yeah,
right.
I will say that about him.
Right, so different kind of different. It's a matter of you know whether you like you know medium rare, well done, or you know.
Right,
rare.
To piggyback back off of what Toph said, the and Angle's, and I say this all the time, is like the one thing that Angle has is he's able to be silly and funny, but then when it's time to be serious, he's serious and you take him serious. And guys from the 80s, like Mr. Perfect was really good at that. Million Dollar Man was too. There were some guys in the 80s. Like, you don't really see that as much today. AJ Styles, you see that out of him. But, you know, that's something that they kind of, like, need to do again. You know what I'm saying? Like especially with someone people like the New Day. They've got their goofy side, but you also want to see their serious side. They did that one time with the New Day to end the show where they beat down everybody, and then it was just right back to being goofy every week. Angle was just a guy that could be goofy when it was time to be goofy and be serious when it was time to be serious. And I just want to see a lot more of that. And I think anytime you look at that, like look at the prototype of how to do that, Angle is the guy that you look at. How do we make a guy funny but serious at the same time? And I think
I don't think no one can do that again. At least not with the crop of fellas that I see there now. Because I've seen them for a while. I've seen, you know, maybe.
Well, I thought AJ did a good job.
Maybe
beat down.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Angle. I was gonna say AJ, and I was gonna say. But to me, AJ kind of. I said newer guys. I just gave him Wrestler of the Year. So I was thinking of off the bat was what's his name? I can't Big E, because we know he can be a monster, and he is goofy as hell. So maybe and he does wear the straps. You know, so maybe someone like Big E, but I don't think the guys have that personality that Kurt Angle had. But look, we're gonna take our last break of the evening. I'm right back. Very short break. Get back into this contest because I got moments in this order, shall I say, that you might be surprised by. We'll be right back, y'all. Perplex Talk Radio, powered by Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP.
Possum is starting to nail this stuff in the house, Cole. John Cena set for a huge match with Kurt Angle. Sunday at No Mercy, kicking us off tonight. Wait a minute. That's not John Cena. That's Kurt Angle. That's Kurt Angle dressed as a bum. I'll tell you what. The Olympic gold medalist, in my opinion, never looked better. What's up, dog? Look at Kurt. He's a That's usually the guard that John Cena would appear in. But the Olympic gold medalist is down the streetwear here tonight. Gold medalist of Thugonomics.
Yo, kill the beat. Kill the beat. Hey, listen up, yo, because I got something to say. Kurt Angle, you think you beat me last week in that battle rap? Well, I'm John Cena, and I don't take that crap. Yo, listen up, people. I hear your chants. I hear your catcalls. And yes, it's true. I'm obsessed with other men's words. Kurt Angle ain't no mercy. You ain't got no chance. Cause I'ma beat you up and then do my dance.
Can't see him.
Can you feel that, Angle? Word life.
Oh, my.
I got more rhymes than old King Tut. So, Angle, get out here so I can kick your... Get it? I rhyme butt with Tut, and then I put the microphone in the air so you people could... Oh, you people feel me. That's right. I'm John Cena. I'm a bad son of a...
Can't see me?
Can't see me. Well, I guess... Kurt Angle's concerned.
Go ahead, Parker. You can call in.
Well, what happened to Kurt Angle?
Oh, it's Mini Kurt.
They struck Kurt Angle in the Olympic drinking machine.
Well, at that height, I don't know, the chance might be out for both.
You've been studying your thesaurus.
Yes, I have.
Great grammar.
Look at this little SOB. What's the deal here?
I love Mitch's gold.
I look down at him, you know what I'm saying?
Sort of looks like Kurt.
What, because he's bald? I don't know. Oh, my God. Welcome to Kurt Angle Circus.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
347-637-3859. I'm going to call in. And right now, before we go ahead and get back to this Kurt Angle top 10 moments right here by Mike Knox at Mike Knox with three X's on the Twitter and wherever social media is sold. Make sure you check out all the shows as well. Cheap pop, but it's not because I pay for it, damn it. Well, the crew does also this year. What's up, y'all, helping me keep this thing afloat? But we got Ellis calling in from the 240. Ellis, what's going on? Welcome to Perfect Plus Talk Radio, where Barbershop Talk does meet radio. What can we do for tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk more about Kurt Angle.
Okay, what about Kurt Angle?
Well, I heard you say that without Bret Hart, there would be no Kurt Angle?
Yes, I believe that he paved the way, the type of style of wrestler that Bret Hart it was, and he introduced that style to wrestling in a broader perspective, maybe helped aided guys like Kurt Angle, Benoit, and those guys, and Eddie Guerrero guys for WWE to say, okay, let's give these guys a chance. Yes, I do believe that.
All right. So I guess my question is, do you think the whole Olympic accolade is a grander feat than what Bret Hart did?
Absolutely. I'm an American, and it's an Olympic gold medal. There's nothing I care more about than the Olympics. There's Olympics and there's wrestling, pro wrestling that we refer to as one sports entertainment and one's a real award. So,
okay. Well, no, I mean, like in my mind, I mean, I even though Bret Hart did something different that was unique, excellent execution. I honestly feel that Kurt Angle, with his athletic ability, either way, he's going to go to the Olympics. Either way, he's going to win the gold medal with a broken neck. I still think he would still stand out above anyone else for his athleticism. And that environment at that time, you had Stone Cold, who he was feeding off that humor from. You know, and being able to get a little goofy with it. Now, if you look at it right now, I think our perfect example is someone who could be at that level might be Chad Gable.
Okay. Well, here's my thing when I say that. I think maybe – let me put things in perspective. Being the old-ass wrestling fan that I am, right? His star power – the fact that even if he had an idea of wanting to be in wrestling, would have got that chance because Vince has never, you know, backed away from money and kind of, you know, he always liked it, something real, football players, basketball players. If you had a professional background and you wanted to be a wrestler, Vince gave you a chance. So you have someone like Kurt Angle who did win a gold medal, who did win it with a broken freaking neck. The way the WWE can promote people better than anybody, in my opinion, in any business, is a win-win. However, what I'm saying is that because of Bret's style, it helped aid styles. Like, what style would Kurt have had? Come think about it. There was no Bret Hart, no Shawn Michaels, no Eddie Guerrero, and all you had was Kurt Angle. I'm not saying it would fail. I do believe, however, fans would probably look at it differently because it was not something we had never seen. Bret wasn't the first person to wrestle that way. He was the first person to get it over. So that's my take on that one, Ellis. But hold that thought right there. 347-637-3859. Thanks for the phone call. Number six. Am I number six? Yes. My number six moment. You ready for this one? Because King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter said, when he went to TNA, it was a blip on his career. I disagree. I've already said that the debut of him at Survivor Series was big, but what about the debut he had at TNA? That's somewhere in this list, or isn't it? But what is in this list is the encounter at Hardcore Justice 2008. And yes, I got this on the list. Yes, Toph, I bring you in for this. And you're like, what the hell? Did Mike Knox's pick a match from TNA, Kurt Angle, and the phenomenal AJ Styles? And we talk about dance partners, and we probably do one with Kurt Angle. I know we will do one with Kurt Angle. But for someone who was not the biggest TNA guy, who did need someone like Kurt Angle and guys like that, the reason why I watched ECW was because of guys like RVD, was watching Hardcore Justice 2008. This is 2 years after Kurt Angle gets there. They had a great match back at Slammiversary. But to have Kurt Angle going here in this match and have these two guys go as the way they did, Hardcore Justice 2008, my number six moment on my Kurt Angle top 10 moments. Toph, your take.
Oh, yeah, that's a good match, and no, I'm not surprised at all. A lot of WWE fans need to get over their butt hurt. Some of Kurt's best matches were in TNA. Some of the best TNA moments involved Kurt Angle. I remember most fans that discovered TNA, they either discovered it through the Unbreakable Triple Threat with Daniels, AJ, and Joe, or when Joe came to TNA and he headbutted Samoa Joe, which was one of the best moments at the time. That was a really big deal. If you're going through Kurt Angle moments and stuff like that, was a good moment. I don't know if you ever saw what was that group? The Aces and Eights funeral. Angle was great there too. The little Thanksgiving parade stuff, the Thanksgiving segments they have, the Main Event Mafia with him and
I think WWE fans, right? And I would put myself in that category, right? And I guess you can get the background noise, but. I look at those and go, you can't take away what he did for TNA. TNA would have probably died a long time before if Kurt Angle not gone there. I love when Christian went there as Christian Cage. It did something for his career. It elevated Christian. It didn't have to elevate Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was already Kurt Angle. He didn't need TNA. Christian kind of needed TNA. Excuse me. So when Kurt Angle came, it was like, whoa, you have a legitimate WWE champion, badass, who's beaten Undertaker, Stone Cold, Rock, you name it. Kurt Angle was a monster. Got him coming in at number six with that one, with that hardcore justice match. Number five, Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 20. Listen, when it comes to Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle, to me, it stands up there. And especially, it's on the WrestleMania 20, the 20th anniversary of WrestleMania. I mean, this match, you got Kurt playing the heel. I mean, just in this match, he's a WWE champion at the time. And I mean, this match just is badass. I think it's completely underrated, underappreciated, under talked about. WrestleMania 20, Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero. Go with you on this one, KME, being a little quiet on that one. Number five on my list. WrestleMania 20, Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle. Do you remember that moment? I remember it was a 5-hour WrestleMania. And I won't lie, we kind of got too drunk and everything else before the whole thing started, and we kind of dozed off. We had this big WrestleMania party and everything, and people kind of passed out. It was 5 freaking hours. Actually, WrestleMania was on all day. I remember that. That probably was $100 freaking dollars, and it was on all day long from 12 in the afternoon. Or something like that. And it was on all day with every match, every day that there was WrestleMania. But WrestleMania 20, number five moment for me for Kurt Angle. Your take on that match?
Oh, I love that match, man. I thought it was great. And then even the little cheating thing they did with Eddie at the end of it was just real classic stuff. And, you know, we all know how that pay-per-view ended. It was... it was a great moment. Listen, a great match. And
I marked out for that main event, because at that time I was Dr. Thugonomics up. I wish I still had my trucker hat. I still got my wristbands, because you can't really break a wristband. But my trucker hat is gone. They don't even sell that trucker hat no more. I had every, I'm not gonna lie, up until the color changes of John Cena shirts, I had them all. No, that's
right,
a lie.
Right.
Up until the one that had like the dog in it inside the cage, when he was
cool.
I had all but those shirts though. When he started coming up with the 54 stuff, I had every John Cena shirt, the Ruck Rules. I had all of them, yo. My son has on my wristband right now. I wear them upside down. Before there was the Miz throwing the M upside from the WWE, I was doing it already. Number four on this list, we got about 12 minutes left in the program. Hey, King Von Jr., shut the hell up. Number four, Shawn Michaels taps out to Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21. It was Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Match of the Year back in 2005. It was right after I was there, and the stuff between Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels was actually taking place. That was the Raw that took place before then. That SmackDown when Shawn Michaels challenged him and Kurt Angle right there with Teddy Long in the ring. WrestleMania 21, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle. I never would have thought in a million years, Hugo, that Shawn Michaels would have tapped out to Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. But this is why, to me, these guys, Shawn Michaels doesn't get the credit for it because of his young past, and Kurt Angle nobody even talks about it, Kurt Angle, in this way. They didn't care how they lost or won a match. They went out there and they performed. Hugo, WrestleMania 21, my number four Kurt Angle moment.
To me, I put this as my number one, and the reason why is because still to this day, it's my favorite match of all time. I remember when they actually did put these two together at the Royal Rumble. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was going to be Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. I really wish that Bret Hart would have stayed along in the WWE. Maybe it would have been Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle, because that's something that I will never, ever get to see ever in my lifetime or any of our lifetimes. And it's unfortunate, because that definitely is the dream match. If you talk about a dream match, it's Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart or The Rock versus Shawn Michaels. But what I was going to say is that to me, this is my favorite match of all time. To me, I would put it as my number one. And Mike, when you talk about a wrestling clinic, this was a wrestling clinic, and how they told a storyline inside the ring from the first second to like the 35th minute when it was over, and then to make it believe that Kurt Angle was legitimately gonna break Shawn Michaels' ankle. I'll never forget JR saying he's gonna snap his ankle in half, and you see the pain in Shawn Michaels. It was just absolutely amazing, man. And I definitely agree with you on that one. Definitely good pick for number four, Mike. To me, it would have been number one.
Number four on my list, Toph, you will like this one as well.
Decision time. Samoa Joe, we need your answer. What's it going to be?
Well, you can see him studying the documents.
Samoa Joe, turning the belt back in or not?
Oh! He just ripped it up right there in front of Mike today.
There's your answer.
You can... Oh! Oh!
Number three on my list, Micah, the debut of Kurt Angle in TNA. Confront Samoa Joe, the headbutt, as Toph talked about. I'm sorry, it put TNA where we thought it couldn't go. Micah, your thoughts? Number three on the list.
No, I think that you're exactly right. Like, and you said it earlier when you said that Kurt Angle didn't need TNA like Christian Cage needed TNA. But TNA really did need someone with the star quality power and the credibility of a Kurt Angle to draw people to their brand, not just as just wrestling fans who are just extra hardcore, but it can draw casual fans as well that were used to only watching one brand of product and they didn't get a chance to see competition like, you know, like the Monday Night Wars with WCW and WWE. Now, we all know on this call that TNA is not WWE's competition in no way, shape, or form. However, at that time, it gave people an alternative to something fresh and new if they thought the WWE was getting stale. So that right there, and then being the one who ended Samoa Joe's streak, I think all of that just led into the credibility of who Kurt Angle was and what he brought to the table. And really, I enjoyed a lot of his stuff. I enjoyed the comedic Kurt Angle. The majority of the comedic Kurt Angle run in WWE, I enjoyed this serious, you know, I'm going to knock you out, I'm going to out-wrestle you, I'm going to destroy you, machine, cyborg, you know, Kurt Angle in TNA. I really love his run in TNA. I appreciate it, what he did there. It would have been nice. It would be nice if at some point in time, though, it's just me, if WWE recognizes the championships that that they got from other promotions more often, and they start to recognize.
When he owns the company, maybe. Of course not. He don't own it yet. Why wouldn't I? Don't give him that. That's a check for them. He don't give money away.
He don't give it up now. No, but number they own Anthem now. They own by Anthem. They're not giving it up yet.
Listen, number two on my list, taking nothing away from Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle. Taking nothing from Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle. Taking nothing away from anything that you might have on your list for Kurt Angle. This is my top 10 Kurt Angle moments. And for me, number two, the greatest match Brock Lesnar ever had, WrestleMania 19, Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar. Brock goes for the freaking shooting star press damn near halfway across the ring. Damn near kills himself in the ring. But the match itself, just these two guys, if anybody ever you believe could go with Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle to me was that guy. He wasn't as big as him, and Brock was the tallest guy. But I love that match. And number one on my list, number one, because it's my moments. The moment that would be a lie if I said the moment he became this or the moment I realized this. That, listen, Street Fight versus the Prodigal Son, King of the ring. Shane McMahon versus Kurt Angle is my favorite Kurt Angle moment of all time. I literally went out and brought that VHS, because it was not DVDs at that time when this came out. It was on tape. I went out and brought the tape. When it came on DVD, I went out and brought the DVD. I went out and brought the King of the Ring special DVD that I know it was still going to be on. I watched this match at least 15 times. There's no other match outside of WrestleMania 3, Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, everybody knows that's my favorite match, that I've watched more in my life than the street fight between Shane O'Mac and Kurt Angle. It is my favorite Kurt Angle moment of all time, because in that match, it was so freaking brutal that he kept trying to suplex him through the plexiglass, and it wouldn't work. And you finally heard him say, just throw me through the damn glass. Just throw me through the damn glass. It was so, I love that match. Shane O'Mac that day was looked at as a real competitor in the ring. Again, best dance partner is about how good you can make each other look. Kurt Angle and Shane O'Mac, to me, that's the best dance partner Shane O'Mac's ever had, was Kurt Angle. We don't have to do a less dance because he's not a wrestler. So I'm throwing it in there impromptu. Best dance partner ever for Shane O'Mac was Kurt Angle. King of the Ring, my favorite Kurt Angle moment of all time. Real fast, Hugo, go. We got 30 seconds. We'll talk about number one in the list in itself. Go.
Like I said, I would have put your number four as your number one, but definitely that was a catapult and what Kurt Angle was, from actually also wrestling Shane McMahon in a gruesome 30-minute match to also competing in the King of the Ring tournament and losing in the finals. That just signified what Kurt Angle was. Definitely great choice for number one. I mean, you can't argue that that could be your number one. So, everything about Kurt Angle, everything that we're talking about Kurt Angle, it's justified, and we can always spend another show on Kurt Angle because just how damn good he was, Mike.
Micah, number one for me, Kurt Angle, greatest moments of all time, King of the Ring. Your take?
No, dude, that's a fantastic number one. And you said something that is very, very keen, for superstars these days, and that's elevation. You know, what wrestler can you say, I'm talking about that actual in-ring, everything they do as a wrestler, who can we honestly say consistently can elevate talent around him or her in the WWE right now? You know, who makes you care that the person they're wrestling is actually, like, putting up something against them? Who makes you care about that? And there's not too many people that we can name in any wrestling promotion that brings that kind of emotion out of you. And when I saw Kurt Angle versus Shane, I was like, man, Shane will get destroyed. Okay, Shane's actually being tough. Okay, Shane, all right, you better get it. Ooh, you got three through the glass. You still alive? You're not dead? Oh, man. Oh, Shane, man.
It wasn't even just the plexiglass moment for me. It was the in ring. It was how Shane popped up. Like he did the kip up with the chair in his hand. It was just a phenomenal match to me. And listen, guys, I want to thank Toph. I want to thank Cammy. I want to thank everybody listening for Jeff Good, King Vaughn Jr. for tuning in. Guys, our time is up. We got to get a ring it up out of here. I want to thank you guys. I love you guys. Perfect Plex Talk Radio. We'll be back every Wednesday leading up to WrestleMania and beyond. I'm going. Hugo's going. KME is going. KME, are you going to the Hall of Fame now? Now that Kurt Angle's going in? Are you going now?
Oh,
I'm
no.
Staying away.
Of course
I still
not.
Ain't going. I love the speeches, and I can't wait to be there. I'm going to see it. So Friday night, I guess I'm busy that night, fellas. But, hey, Saturday, we'll be hanging out with the fellas. I just got to get a babysitter because you know where I go. My wife goes, so it won't be too much smutting going on for me. Not that I smut anyway. But, God, listen, we're going to get out of here. Before we get out of here, I got a special for y'all. Hugo, this is for you, my buddy. My number four current moment of all time. Still a great moment, nevertheless. You make your list. Tell us what you feel about it and how you look at it and what you want to do with it. But listen, be wake up tomorrow morning and say, I love me some me and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. Perfect Flex Talk Radio. We out of here, y'all. Thank you.
At the Royal Rumble. Here we go! Angle, the suplex of the world! Look at Kurt Angle! Uh-oh! Oh, yeah! Gets locked! Blocked an ankle lock! Angle lock! Time for top sweet team music! Oh, the shot! Angle's out! God! Angle's quest to be in the main event at WrestleMania has been ended by Shawn Michaels!
does go well beyond the Royal Rumble. It goes all the way back to 1996. I won a gold medal. And people are talking to me about some guy named Shawn Michaels gliding down from the rafters that year and putting on a wrestling clinic in that ADL, Shawn. Because truth be told, you are one of the best of all time. But to even suggest that you're the greatest wrestler of this generation is an insult to me and everything I stand for.
He is the most decorated athlete in WWE history.
I'm an Olympic gold medalist.
Kurt Angle is a former European champion, tag team champion, intercontinental champion, WCW champion, a king of the ring, and a four-time WWE champion.
I beat five of the greatest superstars in WWE history in a six-man Hell in a Cell. I, Kurt Angle, am the greatest athlete ever in the history of the WWE.
Kurt Angle, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, is a doormat for absolutely nobody. Despite all the accolades, you have never had the chance to go to the biggest stage of them all against Mr. WrestleMania.
I will give you a show like you have never, ever seen before. Why? Because I can.
I am simply the very best sports entertainer in the world.
Nobody has ever, ever outperformed Shawn Michaels in a big match situation.
Shawn Michaels, this is what you can expect at WrestleMania.
Break Kid is a doormat for absolutely nobody.
At WrestleMania,